Good morning and welcome to Christchurch Selly Park Sunday Reflection for this Sunday, the 28th of June. It's great to have you join us in this virtual way, whether you are a regular member of our congregation or whether this is the first time you've been able to join with us. We do hope you're able to connect with the church in other ways through our website if you would like to find out more information. Today we're going to be looking at the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. And John Lanchby will be exploring this for us in detail in a moment. We're now going to have our Bible reading from Isaiah chapter 40 from Cheryl Homer, after which we'll hear from John Lanchby, and then we'll have prayers from Becky Parnell.
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales, and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counsellor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom, then, will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground that he blows on them and they wither away, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and might and strength, none of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Hello again. Good to be with you once again. Thank you for letting me into your home. What a wonderful world we live in. Just like that Louis Armstrong classic song, if you remember it, I'll spare you the singing of it. But it's a beautiful world we indeed live in. As we look up at the stars, as we go outside our back doors at night, and just imagine the millions of miles away that they are, and the vastness of the universe and the beauty of it as well. As we come back inside and look at that pot plant that's just grown from a tiny seed and has a life and beauty all of its own. As we look around at the vastness of the universe through those powerful telescopes, and as we look the other way, through powerful microscopes, we see the beauty, the intricacy, the vastness of the universe, and our minds just find it hard to take it all in. How can we doubt that it was made by an all-powerful Creator God? What a tremendous Bible reading that was we had, how it spoke of God creating the world and how he sustains it, how he holds it. The beautiful imagery that was there. We were asked the question, who has measured all this? Who's held all this? And it can only be a powerful Creator God. The questions came as well, who can teach God anything or even understand everything about him? Who did God ask how to do all this? Who taught him all that he knows or understands? And the answer comes back, of course, no one. We read our Bibles in Genesis. In the beginning, it was God who created the heavens and the earth. I'll leave it to our scientists to come up with their best hypotheses as to how he did it. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus himself holds it together by his powerful word. And also that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And in case you think I'm just spouting sentimental nonsense, talking about a Creator God making all this, and that a hard-headed scientist certainly wouldn't have any time for this sort of thing, well, don't take my word for it. Search online and you'll find numerous scientists who believe in this God. I know that our media is full of people who are just happy to dismiss the idea of God and the world coming about through a Creator God. But there are also many scientists, I know a few of them myself, who willingly admit to believing in this God and who've given their lives to following him. And strange as it seems, I think it takes more faith, or should I say blind assumption, to be an atheist rather than to believe in a Creator God. When we talk of an all-powerful God, we're not just limiting him to the marvellous creative acts that he's made. We're also talking about his wisdom and how he rules the world and his good judgment. In our reading, God asks, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? In fact, when we talk of an all-powerful God, we mean that he can do anything that he wills to do. He's not limited by space and time, physical conditions, limitations. And he exists in a way that we can hardly begin to understand. From what we know of this God, we know that he is utterly amazing. Now, as Christians, we declare God to be all-powerful and also to be totally good. It doesn't take long, if we're honest with ourselves, to be faced with the question, okay, if God is good, if God is all-powerful, why does he allow this thing or that thing to happen? Why did you allow this person I really loved to die? Why didn't you answer my prayer for them to live? Why is there so much suffering in this world? And God, why do you let people get away with doing bad things? Why aren't they brought to justice? Why doesn't God step in to stop all this happening? And while we're at it, why has God allowed this COVID-19 pandemic to happen, inflicting itself on thousands, millions of innocent people? In the Bible, there's an account of a man called Job, and he was faced with similar hard questions. And they weren't some kind of merely academic interest type questions. He was suffering terribly and he wanted to know the answers from God. He wanted to see God face to face and ask God what he was doing and why. And again in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, the writer asks the same difficult questions. Why, Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Why, God, have you forsaken me? Will you reject us forever? In other words, so if you're God, what are you doing about all this? Why do you allow this to happen? If you're the sort of person who is asking those questions right now, or has in the past, or will in the future, you're not alone. In fact, you're in good company. I remember a time not so long ago when I was at rock bottom and I was asking God similar questions. Why are you letting this happen, God? If you're the powerful God that we read about in the Bible, creating all this, why can't you just simply step in and change what's happening to me right now? Why are you letting it happen? In the last few chapters of the story of Job, God does appear to Job and shows him something of his greatness in creation and power and how he holds and sustains the world. And he invites Job to put his questions to him. And at that point, I confess that I was really disappointed with Job, because Job didn't challenge God. He seemed to let God off the hook. Let's leave the story of Job parked there just for a little while, and we'll come back to it in a few minutes. We can, through theological study and through thinking deeply, we can come up with some reasons why God doesn't always intervene when we think he should. And at one level, the picture can become clearer. Thinking about this pandemic, I've got a book here by Professor John Lennox, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And John Lennox has been involved in public debates with people like Richard Dawkins and others, and he knows what he's talking about. And he tries in this book to address the question, what is God doing about this? Why is God letting this happen? It's only a short book, and even a slow reader like me can get through it in 2 or 3 hours. So, and it doesn't cost that much. Or better still, I've got 5 copies here. I'll happily send one to each of the first 5 people to phone me after this time together. But anyway, don't worry if you're watching this, not on a Sunday, but sometime later in the week, there might still be 1 copy left for you. Professor Lennox addresses such themes as, although our world is indeed wonderful, it's also a broken world. He recalls how in Genesis 1 and 2, God created the world and it was good. But then in chapter 3, humankind decided with free will to go against this God, and imperfection entered into the world. And that imperfection even affected the natural world. And so it became a broken world, and pain and suffering came in. No way am I suggesting that this answers all our questions that we have about why God allows such things to happen. But we begin to see that the world is not running now as God primarily intended it to in the beginning. Anyway, back to the story of Job. There is Job face to face with God, and God is inviting Job, challenging him to put his why questions. But for some reason, Job doesn't. I don't know what went on, but I can only imagine what went on. But when Job came face to face with God and his greatness, somehow the question didn't seem so relevant anymore. I was really annoyed with Job. Go on, Job, ask the questions. See what God says. But whatever Job saw of God was enough for him to be content with not knowing all the answers, and to trust that God knows what he's doing. I believe that in similar ways, as we bring our why questions to God, yes, he will sometimes give us an answer, but oftentimes he'll leave us for now to be content with having him there and walking with us, holding on to us as we try to grapple with the mystery of why has God allowed this to happen. Maybe I need to see something of that vision of God that Job saw, of how great God is, and so be content to live with the mystery of those unanswered questions. Yes, there is still pain and questioning. Does that make God a cold, uncaring God, a less loving God? Somebody once said, if you want to know what God is like, and I would add, and understand him better, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. We read in the Bible that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the exact representation of God's being. And as we look at Jesus, we begin to see something of God's response to suffering in the world, and indeed to our suffering. There's a line of a Graham Kendrick song which impressed itself on me and has impressed itself on me over many years since I first sang it. Hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. The one who is the all-powerful God, who flung those stars into space and created worlds that we have yet to discover, might not give us right now a reason for our suffering, but we can know that he came and shared with us in our suffering and will be with us in our suffering. As we go on from day to day, there will still be the unanswered questions, the why questions, and we'll feel like shouting out to God, why do you let this happen? Why have you let this happen? Why is it what's happening in the world? But we know the kind of God that God is, the God who walks with us in our questions, in our suffering, the all-powerful God, the all-loving God. Towards the end of our Bible reading, we had that lovely picture of those who trust the Lord renewing their strength. He will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. Those who trust in him will run with him. And for now, we might just have the strength or just be given the strength to walk with him from day to day. We have our questions, but we know he's an all-powerful and an all-loving God. And he walks with us. And he will walk with us until one day we walk into his presence in a more complete way. And somehow all those questions, the answers, will all become clear.
Father, we thank you for the reminder this morning that you are all-powerful. Thank you for creating all things. We thank you for the beauty we see in our gardens, in our parks, that bring us joy and sustain us. We thank you for the sunshine and the refreshing rain. We thank you for one another, all known and created by you. Father, we pray for our world as it continues to fight this global pandemic. We pray for wisdom for world leaders as they make impossible decisions about lockdown. We pray that you will give them wisdom. We pray for our national and local leaders too, for school leaders, office managers, church leaders, and others as they all try and find ways forward in these difficult times. And Lord, we pray for our local community. We pray for Pat and Graham and others on the interview panel as they discern the process of finding a new vicar. We pray for members of our church and surrounding communities who are struggling with isolation or anxiety, whether that be due to worries about health, finances, or other things. Bring peace to those we know. Bring friends and neighbours alongside them to help and support them. And open our eyes to where we can be your hands and feet at this time. Lord, we just pray now in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Becky, Cheryl, John, and thank you for joining us today. We hope that you have glimpsed something of the power of God and been able to consider the why. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your omnipotence. As we consider the universe, we glimpse some of that power and awesomeness. Thank you for the example of Job, and as we come before you with our whys, we pray that just knowing your power will bring us some peace. Thank you that despite your power, you still came to suffer and walk among us. And as we go through this week, may we know the power of your presence alongside us. Amen.